getting this letter from Kara saying, I'll meet you at Montana, right?
Bozeman! Bozeman! I'll meet you at Bozeman!
Yeah. Hello, Addison!
Billy, a long time no see. I mean, we just were here for Yellowstone, and we didn't have to wait too long before 1923.
No, it's exciting. We're back. We'll be doing weekly episodes of the podcast now, I think, starting, well, today, really, because season two begins very soon.
Yeah, February 23rd is when season two will air on Paramount Plus. So really, what, 2 weeks away? That math might be wrong.
It's going to be this coming Sunday is when it, and it is on Paramount Plus, so check that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've realized this, but it's been a full 2 calendar years since we've had an episode of 1923.
Oh, I don't think I realized it's been 2 years. It felt, oh, yeah. I felt the 1 year, but now that you're saying that, we had the writer's strike, we had, I guess we had a lot of things happen.
So much drama.
So on and off the show. Well, I know that you, Billy's done his due diligence, which no one's surprised by this statement. Y'all, Billy has gone back and watched the entire season one of 1923. I admit I am not as diligent as Billy is yet. And I have not watched every single episode of 1923. So I do preface that as Billy is about to be our most knowledgeable friend you could ever ask for.
Well, I think the juxtaposition of that is important because most people who are going to start watching season two have not watched all 8 episodes once again. I mean, that's like 8 hours of TV, and who has time for those kinds of things? So I think that's important. But man, and kind of going back, I'm like, who are you again? And your name is?
True.
Oh, right. You're the guy who does the, I don't like you. Like, it's a whole like... kind of have to remember like uncomfortable scenes and that I remembered were uncomfortable were far more uncomfortable than I remembered.
Mm.
And then the soft moments between like Spencer and Alexandra, like those were just as good, if not better, a second time around.
Well, let's real quick to refresh everyone's mind, because even there was two characters that I kind of need personal you to walk me down just how they fit into this storyline. But so first at the top, we have Jacob Dutton and Kara Dutton, who they're played by Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. And they're the patriarchs of this 1923.
That's right. So if you're kind of connecting this to 1883, Jacob is James, Tim McGraw's brother. And we learned through some Elsa Dutton voiceover that when Margaret Dutton was dying, she called on Jacob to come help save the family. He travels from Kentucky with Kara, who's never had kids of her own. And they kind of begin taking care of Spencer and John Dutton, who were James and Margaret's kids. And we met them during 1883.
Yes. And so Spencer Dutton, played by Brendan Sklinner, and Jack Dutton, played by Darren Mann, who they then had.
Not Jack Dutton. Jack Dutton's the young boy. John Dutton, who is, I forget the actor's name. Jack Dutton is son to John and Emma Dutton, played by Marley Shelton, who was in You're Killing Me, Smalls, Sandlot.
Ah, dadgum.
Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent.
This
is a generation.
This is why you're here, because this is where I get slightly confused on this whole family tree. Thank you for correcting me. Well, Jack Dutton, follow me here. He is married to Elizabeth Strafford, right?
They get married.
Or they get married.
Yeah, where? They get married throughout season one. At the start of the season, they're just dating.
That's right.
Well, that's a whole episode. We're going to get to that. Let's not get too far away from our character introduction.
Fair. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy right now. Okay, so then Spencer Dutton and Alexandra are together, who is played by Julia Schleffler or Schleffer.
Yes.
We have Tiona Rainwater, which is, remind me of her name. Amina Nieves.
Yeah.
I feel, what do I get for a prize after this? And then, okay, the two characters.
I'm impressed you've gotten as far as you've gotten with these names.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm struggling here. But okay, then we have Banner and Donald Whitfield, who those are the two characters. I need you to remind me okay. how they exist, but I know I'm not supposed to like them.
You are not supposed to like them.
Okay.
All right. So let's start there. Episode one, Banner Creighton, played by Jerome Flynn. He's a Scottish sheep farmer, and he's sort of like the leader of all the sheep farmers. And there's a lot of tension between the sheep farmers and the cattle farmers because it's a really bad drought in Montana. There's locusts and some other things. So everybody's like really hurting for grass to feed their cattle. Banner makes the decision to let his sheep feed on the Dutton Ranch's grass. That leads to some pretty big trouble. In fact, Jacob Dutton tries to hang Banner and all of his men. And what he does is he nooses them up and puts them on their horses. And if they can stay on their horse and figure out a way to get that noose off, then they live. Most of them can't, so they die. Banner actually does and frees himself and seeks revenge on Jacob Dutton for that act.
I completely forgot about that dynamic.
Yeah. It's all over grass. I mean, the whole war starts over grass for the cattle. Jacob is the head of the livestock commission. So he has a position of power. Mm-hmm. Banner does not. So he goes to Donald Whitfield, who, as you said, was played by Timothy Dalton, who is a James Bond actor. And Donald Whitfield is a gold miner. He's very, very, very rich. He convinces him to give him money to kind of start attacking the Duttons, either physically or through kind of buying all the land around them is what they end up kind of doing by the end of season eight. But Don Whitfield, he's a perverse SOB. Like, we don't meet him till halfway through the season, but he's evil. Like, he's
dark.
A truly kind of evil. Like, I don't know if there's like a comparison with him to in the Yellowstone, maybe one of the Beck brothers, but like more charismatic.
So you just answered the question to the drama that's ensuing over the land itself. That Jacob is dealing with. Let's bring in, I know where he is, but Spencer Dutton we don't meet him on the ranch.
No, and as the season ends, he hasn't even returned yet to the United States. Mm-hmm. We meet him in Africa, and his backstory is really compelling. He went and fought in World War I. Never returned. Kara has been trying to get in contact with him via letters. He's not returning her mail. And he's got a lot of demons, a lot of PTSD, because he really did some evil. He fought to save his life and protect his country, but he's got a lot of ghosts that he's sort of dealing with. Mm-hmm. And we see those play out in kind of dream sequences or flashback scenes, but he's become a big game hunter, and he's a celebrity who's known for killing all these famous animals. And he kind of finds out he's famous across Africa. And in between hunts, he runs into the beautiful Alexandra at a bar in, I think they're in Nairobi, or maybe they hadn't gotten there, but somewhere in Africa.
And then the rest is history.
Well, so I can't underestimate, like, I think we really, during this season, like, we loved their love story.
Mm-hmm.
It is as good as we remember it, if not a little bit better. Like, those moments of dialogue between them and their sincerity are just as tear-jerking as beautiful the second time around. Like, it is really good, the show.
I loved their relationship. So I'm definitely looking forward to, which obviously we'll talk about it towards the end, but I'm really looking forward to, we kind of left with their relationship off on a tension note, I guess. Is I'm not trying to give it away yet, so that's why I'm saying it kind of tentatively.
Well, it's a cliffhanger, for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, cliffhanger. So I'm excited for us to circle back and just to see the two. I mean, let's be real. To see Brendan Sklinner on that television screen, I will not be complaining, but to see the two of them and just, yeah, the relationship, I'm looking forward to it.
They quickly escalated their relationship to the physical stage and kind of lived there again and again and again. And they referred to it as ravagings. That was her word for it, which was sexy and adorable, all kind of at the same time.
Oh yeah. No, I don't love that, but I'm glad that did it for you.
They had a word, which was cute. But one thing to remember about her is we learned at the very end, she is actually British royalty of some sort.
Right. Yeah.
Don't know if I understand the British royalty hierarchy, but she's in there somewhere, which is another layer of tension, but maybe a layer of intrigue as it pertains to the trouble Jacob is in back in Montana.
Well, and to remind me how we figured that out. We figured that out because on the ship is when we find that out, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's referred to as the Countess of Sussex.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think a lot there. The other major character that we mentioned but didn't talk about is Tiona Rainwater, right? Yes,
those were heavy scenes. That's mainly what I remember.
What do you remember most from Tiona about her arc?
Her time at was it the Catholic school?
That's right.
And just how, I mean, brutally mistreated she was by the nuns who were put in power there to be over the girls. And I just remember the scenes being really gruesome and important to watch, but hard to watch, or like important to know, but hard to watch.
I compared it, I think, to confession. If you'd ever have, if you're Catholic, mm-hmm. I grew up Catholic, and you go to confession and like you kind of dread confession, but mm-hmm. you're also understanding that you're better off for it after confession. Like you mm-hmm. have this faith, and that's kind of what these scenes are like. You dread watching them, but you hang in there. And you hope there's sort of a salvation for doing so at the end of it. The whole story arc is very real to history. Like what she went through actually happened in America and especially in Canada. Many, many Native American kids were killed throughout the process. But Tiona fights back. She kills two of her nun abusers and runs away and is being chased down by the priest, Father Reynaud. And, that most of the season she's kind of running from them. And the priests that are sent for her both get killed in various ways. And she ends up reconnecting with her father and a young man named Pete Plentyclouds. And at the end of the season, they're going to kind of try to escape into Comanche land to elude the priests and the school. And that's another cliffhanger if that's going to work or not.
Oh gosh. So, I mean, I could see 1923, the second season episode one coming in with a pretty heavy action.
Yeah, I'm curious to see kind of how quickly they try to get back to all of these plot lines. Like that was sort of the nice thing about what the season one was, is it didn't try to jam every storyline into every episode. Like there was episodes without Tiona, mm-hmm. and that was good. We didn't meet Don Whitfield until like episode four, or episode five,
mm-hmm.
which was fantastic. And then at the very end, in episode eight, this was a little strange. They kind of tried to shoehorn in another plot line involving Zane. Do you remember who Zane is? I can see the wheels turning. It's coming to her.
Yeah,
come on.
Because it is a little bit, but it's a young guy, right? Which that wasn't really helpful. Crud. No, just tell me. No one wants to listen to me wonder on this podcast.
Edison's eyes were up and to the left, if you're wondering which half of the brain she goes to work things out like that. Zane is sort of the ranch foreman. He's like a nicer equivalent of Rip Wheeler, if you will. But
that's not who I was thinking of, so I'm so glad you just said it.
Well, he is young. He appears to be married, and he's married to an Asian woman. And at the very end, he's home visiting with his family, and the wife gets arrested for, I'm going to slaughter this word because I can't say it, miscegenation, which apparently it was illegal for someone of Asian descent to be married to a white man and have kids. So she's arrested.
Hmm.
He's beaten. And it's like really shoehorned in there at the end. It's like we got all these things to worry about, and then boom, we got this Zane drama to sort of worry about out of nowhere. And in my mind, I was like, well, maybe we missed clues that was coming. No, we didn't miss any clues. They just literally ramrodded that plot line into episode eight and said, yeah, okay, deal with that too over the next 2 years before we come back to you.
Interesting.
I hope there's not too much there, not because I don't think that's an interesting thing, but it's just because I know there's only two seasons of this show, right?
Like, right.
We're told this is two seasons and out. Like, we got enough to deal with. I don't need Zane's. I'm not that invested in the Zane plot.
No.
Line, you know what I mean?
No, but he's now that you're saying it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
So much to happen.
Yeah, but that was one that was not clearly staying in my brain for long.
But what I do think that does is sort of puts us in like the political landscape of the time, because this is like, I think we're in Prohibition in that area in 1923. Like the Depression is coming, although it seems to be coming, hitting already in Montana. World War One has just ended. Horrible treatment of Asian people, and obviously horrible treatment of Native Americans. So like, it makes that real. So even if it's just sort of lightly touched on, maybe it just adds a little bit of a context to the bigger plot.
I do want to talk about Jack and Elizabeth. Like you said, the beginning, they are in love with each other. They come to get engaged, get married. Elizabeth gets pregnant. We learn that she miscarries, right?
That's right.
She miscarries. I don't fully remember how we ended things with them. Was it the miscarriage? Okay.
That was the last big thing to happen with them, yeah.
Okay.
But the way we got there was sort of circuitous, I guess you could say. At the beginning, they're fixing to get married in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
But their wedding has to get pushed back because Jacob decides they need to run the cattle up the mountain. And that's where they meet Jacob Banner. But then in episode three, and I'll tell you this, if you have Paramount Plus and you want to watch one episode that'll do the most good to sort of bring you up to speed, watch episode three, because that's kind of where like everything happens or starts to happen. And almost all the essential characters are discussed. And that's the episode where Banner and his men attack Jacob and his family and kill several people. Elizabeth gets shot, if you recall.
Oh, whoa. I don't remember that at all.
Oh, yeah. She gets shot in the abdomen area. Jack is also shot. John, who is Jack's father, he's killed. And that leads to Jack's mother eventually dies by suicide a couple of episodes later. Elizabeth's father is killed in that exchange. Like, it's a really, and that's when Jacob is shot and killed, or not killed, but that's when he's shot and nearly killed.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that one.
That's all at the end of episode three. So that obviously throws the whole wedding into a disarray. Elizabeth's mother wants to take her east. She decides to stay with Jack in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of just exist for a while because Jack's so angry until she kind of gives him a little bit of a, gives him the what for and says she needs some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide they just are going to marry themselves. They say vows themselves and then consummate the wedding and make a child. And they haven't really technically gotten married because they need to get a priest to come do it. So there's this really cute scene between Elizabeth and Kara, who is Helen Mirren,
mm-hmm.
where she tells her that she's pregnant and she needs to get married quick because her dress isn't going to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kara is very delighted. She's delighted by that news and says they'll take care of it. Then she ends up losing the baby.
And something that I just realized, because I was about to say, you've talked to Michelle Randolph, but I realized it wasn't for 1923. It was for Landman. So we actually haven't, to my knowledge, we haven't gone to talk to Michelle as Elizabeth, right?
I'd mentioned, we talked about 1923 a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the only interesting thing that I remember her saying is she has a pretty good idea of how Kevin Costner's John Dutton is related, like which branch of the family tree he comes from.
Mm.
But she wasn't able to tease too much because we did focus mostly on Landman, yeah.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think of who else we haven't covered.
Well, there are a couple of other characters. One is Elsa Dutton, who is back with some voiceover.
Well,
right?
I was about to say, she's back as a relative statement. She's back with a voiceover, but we don't ever see her.
No, but she kind of, her voiceover proves both essential and confusing.
How so?
I'll explain what I mean there. One, like, she gets us up to speed about how Jacob came into the picture and what happened to James and Margaret. And then in the very first episode, she says something like, only one of her brothers will live to see the Great Depression and such and all these other things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of episodes later, John dies. So we think, oh, Spencer. Spencer's the living brother. But then she says something like, oh, and we all are going on a journey, and this journey for Spencer will be his last. Which indicates that maybe he dies too. So I don't really know what to make of her sort of twisted voiceovers, other than it's just nice to hear her voice, and she sort of in her elegant way sort of ties up loose ends or clarifies things.
That's a gig I want to have, where somehow you've managed to go through like Yellowstone. You were on physically on 1883, but you were able to get those paychecks from Yellowstone, from 1923. I mean, if Isabel May ever gets sick, I don't mind stepping in her place.
I don't think she's done anything since 1883. If she has...
Mailbox money, man.
That's about it. Which is super interesting, you know? She was a good actor. You would think she would have picked up or something. The other character I want to mention, and I think he's going to become important. This is why I'm mentioning him. His name is Clyde. Clyde?
No.
Your old pal Clyde, the Clydester.
My really fun favorite Clyde. I've clicked on him, and I don't remember this man.
Okay. So around episode 4 or 5, as Jacob is on his, what seems to be his deathbed recovering, Kara has to go address the livestock commission because they don't want anybody to know that Jacob was shot and wounded, because they think that if that happens, then the thieves and the killers are going to come and take the whole family and try to steal their ranch. And so they keep it all under wraps, and they lie and say that Jacob has gone to Wyoming to hunt down cattle thieves. So she comes and she forms the, what we now think of as the livestock agency, which is that law enforcement arm that John Dutton and then Casey Dutton led on Yellowstone. And her and the sheriff have to hire the first livestock agents. Mm-hmm. One of the guys they hire is a redheaded man named Clyde, who seems like a real straight shooter, honest and charming, but he's also a mole. He's one of Donald Whitfield's spies.
Yes.
And Kara, no one in the Dutton family knows that yet.
Yes, I do remember that. Little slimy man.
Little slime ball there. Yeah. So I think that kind of gets you mostly up to speed on the Montana Duttons.
Versus non-Montana Duttons?
Well, yeah, Spencer and Alexandra, because they're in Africa.
Oh.
Trying to think if we left anything else out of their plot line. I think that's about it. I'll fill in the gaps if I think of something later. I mean, I'll just cut it out and plug it in.
I was like, now? Well, I will say the one thing I do remember from the very last episode of 1923 was we're on that ship where we learn that Alex might be, you know, of some type of royal descent. And so they're on the... They are on a ship back to Montana when Alex, her ex-fiance, Arthur, challenges Spencer to a duel. And then, you know, in classic coincidence here, Spencer accidentally kills Arthur. And so then he's forced to be dropped off at the next port. Obviously, there's some issues there because, hello, we're now splitting up Alex and Spencer. Right. I remember Alex was locked in her room, right? And then at the very... until they get to, like, the plan was she's locked in her room until they get back to London, aka so she can't just run off with Spencer. And then at the last second, she runs out to the deck. She's waving this letter from Kara saying, "I'll meet you at Montana," right?
Bozeman, I'll meet you at Bozeman.
Yeah. That's how it ended. That was even better than mine.
Okay, yeah, that scene was a little cheesy the second time around, but you got the nuts and bolts of it. Can I back it up a little bit, though?
Oh, feel free.
Okay, so when Alexandra meets Spencer, she is engaged to get married to young Arthur, who is also nobility and from that noble class, very proper. Mm-hmm. They're engaged to be married, and I think the trip is like some sort of engagement trip. Is that a thing people do? Someone gets engaged, you go to Africa?
I mean, you know, normally that's called a honeymoon, but...
No, you don't bring your mom and dad along on a honeymoon.
That's also fair. Yeah, I haven't heard of an engagement trip, but it sounds a lot of fun. Let's bring it back.
But she falls head over heels for Spencer in just a matter of minutes, and as Spencer's leaving, she literally chases his car down and hops in begs to go with him. He agrees. So they go, and you think that the royal family is gone, but then as they're traversing, they're making their way back to the Americas, and are fixing to get on a final ship that's going to take them to the final ship, or I'm 100% sure. They realize that the family is in the same port, and they run into each other at a cafe in Sicily, of all places. Then once on the ship, they run into each other in the Grand Hall, and that's when Arthur, drunk and angry, decides to challenge Spencer to a duel. And he actually wins. Spencer actually wins the duel, and Arthur's father is trying to get him to quit. But Arthur runs at him with a revolver, and Spencer, to protect himself, kind of gets out of the way, dodges him, and picks him up and throws him over the edge of the boat.
How you just said that very last part, just picks him up and throws him over the boat. All right, dust off those hands and move on.
It's that quick. And the beauty of it, it always cracks me up, is the way the old biddies react in this. Like, they're literally clutching pearls. Like that saying, clutch my pearls. Like, pearls are being clutched. It's a literal thing. Like, oh!
It is kind of, I mean, I understand that he was trying to protect himself, but it seems a little dramatic that he ended up overboard.
You know, the thing about I can't figure out about Spencer and the actor, Brendan Sklinner, like, I don't know if the role just sort of limits what he can do as an actor, or if his acting is just sort of so-so. Like, it's just stiff and monochromatic. Like, he doesn't have a lot of different colors.
Does Alexandra ever – wait, is this – I'm supposed to be guessing if she ever gets to Montana? You're saying in season two, do we think she makes it to Montana? Okay, great. I said yes, because there's no way that we have season two without at least her making it to Montana.
I'm not 100% convinced, and here's why.
Wait.
And I think we can kind of transition to setting up season two at this point as well. We in 1883, Elsa had this great love story with Sam that ended with no sort of satisfying conclusion. Like, the same thing seems possible. Like, we could repeat that arc in 1923.
So you don't think then that Spencer would go to Montana? Like, do you think he makes it?
I do think Spencer makes it, yeah. I actually do think they both make it, but I'm willing to accept a world where maybe one of them, there isn't a happy reunion. Like, that's a possibility to me.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
I love it. Sorry.
1923, season two starts on the 23rd, as we said. And in a lot of ways, it looks like a continuation of season one. But there are some new characters and some new actors and a couple of new twists that I think we can look out for.
Sunday nights. I know what I'm doing now.
Do you want to know what those twists are?
Oh, yeah. All right. I didn't realize you knew. I thought you were just saying, like, get ready for some twists. Like, all right. That's great. Yeah, tell me.
I got a few. I'm not done talking yet, Addison.
Sorry.
Are we on a payphone? Insert more quarters.
Sorry. I thought you were just teasing us up. Wow. You're delivering too. You're not only making the dough, you're like, here we go. Let me just serve it to you. Yeah, serve me.
All right, so a couple of things we see in the trailer. Spencer has an interaction with the mob at some point.
Because let's just throw that in there. Well, okay.
You know, he's probably going to land in New York, so. And maybe I'm stereotyping a little bit, but they're kind of Italian-looking guys who know a thing or two about crime. That says mob, right? Well, they speak English. So I don't know if they're in New York, but I'm maybe putting cart before horse, but it looks like, and they're all wearing very nice suits. So possible.
Continue. Okay.
An actor named Jennifer Carpenter is going to play a woman named Mammy Fawcett, who is a U.S. deputy marshal. And she and Spencer are going to come across one another at some point. I think that probably happens somewhere in the heartland of America. And my thought is she's an ally to Spencer, but we'll see. And then we're going to have a new character. If you remember at the end of episode 8, Tiona and Pete Plentyclouds start to form a bit of a romantic relationship.
Yes, I do remember that.
But Pete Plentyclouds was played by Cole Brings Plenty, and he died.
I know. Like in real life, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a pretty tragic death. So curious to see if they'll write off his character or if we'll just have a new character for him.
Or that character just won't exist, to your first point.
It could be. I don't think that the Dutton, and I've said this before, the Dutton family plot lines and the Teona plot line are ever going to intersect. Like, I think they'll continue to live separately from one another.
Hmm.
We're just meant to see all that Native American stuff and not necessarily, it's not relevant to the bigger plot line, which is an interesting way to go about making a television show.
Well, if I've learned anything, sometimes what Taylor Sheridan does is beautiful, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I tell you, if he shows up in this show,
with a hot chick by his side.
Am I wrong? I mean, if he's shows going, up in the...
Wait, no, he hasn't shown up in 1923, has he?
No, and I don't think James Jordan has either.
He didn't show up in 1883, though, either. He doesn't like the timepiece ones that he's jumping in, that he's creating. The ones that are set more in, like, normal, everyday 2000s is what he jumps into.
He more or less plays the same character in every show he's in. Like, there's not a lot of...
That's true.
He doesn't have a lot of faces.
There's no Bull Riders in 1923 for him to play.
No, but he's in Lioness, and he's not a Bull Rider there. He's
that's true.
One of the
Lioness,
part of the tactical team. Yeah, he better not show up in it. But
or else. Well, I will say, I don't know if you want me to tease this or not, because I will say I don't know who we are talking to. So there is a potential, I'll say that, for us to be talking to some of the 1923 cast very soon.
Yeah, that's exciting. I have a lot more questions now. You know, I do and I don't, I guess. You know, now that I've watched this again, I don't know. I'm curious to see when you start digging in again, what your feeling on this show is. Like, what comes back to you? What sort of feel goods or like trouble kind of comes back to you? What emotions do you sort of experience again? Because that was the interesting thing watching again was just kind of how it all made me feel. And it was just... Nothing faded. Like, none of the colors faded with time. Like, it was just as good as we remembered it being.
I truly am really excited for 1923. February 23rd.
Staff@tasteofcountry.com is our email address. We'll bring back trivia next week as well for some Dutton Rules, Dutton Rules podcast swag that we can kind of talk about.
Tasteofcountrystore.com.
To that end, I think we have a couple of questions this week.
Oh, we sure do. The first one is, I believe Alexander gets, and I think Alexander mean Alexandra. I believe Alexandra gets back to Spencer because she is the only one with enough money to pay back taxes and get the ranch back on track. To your point.
So we didn't mention this, I don't think, in the episode, but at the end of episode 8, Don Whitfield pays Jacob Dutton's property taxes. And if Jacob can't pay him back by the end of the year, the deed for the property goes to Donald Whitfield. So that's sort of the bind that the Dutton family is in. Now that we know Alexandra's royalty,
wealthy,
she would seemingly have the money to cover that for him. But she's also going to be a little bit estranged from her family. So we'll see if that ends up working out for her.
The next one is, I could never figure out what the purpose of the nuns cutting Teona's hair and the whole wire wool bath, bloodbath scene.
This speaks to a lot of the abuse that we saw of Teona in the boarding house. After the second or maybe even the third sort of time where she lashes out and beats the nuns up, they cut her hair, which is just a grave, grave insult for someone who's Native American under certain circumstances. I remember Monica cut her hair in Yellowstone, but she did that to show she was grieving. But I think they're also just trying to Americanize her by doing that. And then they did. They washed her with a wool brush after she had been beaten. And it's extremely painful to watch. I think they're just trying to what do you call it when you're trying to tame a horse?
Cutting? Breaking?
Yeah, they're just trying to break her. I think that's just all about breaking her. And she is a spirit that cannot be broken.
Yeah, that's why I just breathe in deep. It comes back.
You could, you know, if you fast forward through some of it, you won't watch some of it. Fast forward through other scenes, I think you'll be okay. I clicked through some scenes as well. Not only those, but like the whole scenes with, there's just some of the scenes I knew went nowhere that were just uncomfortable. I kind of fast forwarded through.
So this is a question. Does this podcast go from the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast to the Dutton Rules 1923 podcast?
Oh, it's Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone. I think we are. We're Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1923 podcast. That's the official title.
You know why I was asking is because I was already forward thinking of how I wanted to close out this podcast because I knew you were wrapping things up. And I realized this is where it gets confusing. I'm like, wait, are we are the Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1923 podcast.
Well, now, this is something to consider. Do we need to change to Dutton Rules, a 1923 Landman Madison podcast?
Four sixes? No, you know, at some point, people will know to come to us for all Taylor Sheridan knowledge. If we just keep adding every single show that Taylor Sheridan puts his finger on, this is going to be a long title. No one wants to stick around for that.
All right.
Well, y'all, thank you for watching. We're back. We're going to be covering 1923. Reminder that February 23rd is when it all kicks off. Y'all, this is another town square. Oh, I almost forgot my word. This is another. Oh, man, Billy. This is another investigative town square media podcast.
And apparently visual, too, because you said thank you for watching. It's truly the 1920s where we all sit around watching the radio.
And y'all, I promise, it hasn't been that long since we've done a podcast episode together, but I clearly need to take a little broom to my brain.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com if you want to suggest other adjectives for us. See y'all.
Bye.